Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together. Lord, in the midst of the summer activities, our schedules get off. The things we normally do to care for our souls sometimes get out of rhythm. And Lord, just the demands of life can drain us. So I pray that over the next few minutes, as we open up your word, that your spirit would move into our lives and refresh our souls. Slake our thirsts, satisfy our hungers. Lord, bind up our wounds and restore our hope and refresh us so that as we leave in the next 30, 45 minutes out, back out into the world, we would go energized by you. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. every now and then you hear something, I hear something, that really adds a whole new perspective for me. You hear some, you learn something that gives you a whole new tool, a whole new understanding, a way to deal with problems that have bothered you for years. And that happened to me about 4 years ago. And I was at the Global Leadership Summit. The speaker that day was a guy named Henry Cloud. You may not know Henry. Henry wrote the book Boundaries, which you might be familiar with, and about 1,400 other versions of Boundaries. You know, boundaries in dating, boundaries with your spouse, boundaries with your dog, boundaries. I mean, there's all kinds of boundaries, right? I mean, he's got a million of these. Anyway, he's a speaker, a consultant, a counselor. And in this particular talk, as he worked his way through it, he just gave me an understanding, a language for dealing with some of the relational problems I ran across all the time, either in my own life or talking to people around me constantly. And I have, from that day forward, I guarantee you, hardly a month goes by that I don't take the content, the basic ideas from that talk and use it in counseling and directing and giving some wisdom in my own life. It's one of those things that it just becomes a foundational way of looking at people and looking at relational issues. And so this morning, what I'm going to do, because really his content that day came out of Proverbs. And so we're in the middle of this series on sound bites from heaven on Proverbs. And so what I'm essentially going to do is take Henry Cloud's concepts and use them this morning with you. And I just want to be real upfront about that, you know, because I could almost, not quite, just give quotes at the beginning and quotes at the end, you know. And I almost showed his video. It gets on YouTube. You can find it under the same title as mine. But this was so life-changing for me. And others who were there that day have said the same thing over and over again. And I think this is going to serve you well as you grapple with people that give you trouble, you know? And here, let me just set it up the way he kind of did, and this is the way it works for me. People will come to me with an issue. I just think about a gal who came about 18 months ago. She comes into my office. She's obviously emotionally distraught. She's frustrated. She told me about it on a Sunday morning. She says, I've got to come and talk to you about this thing. It's driving me crazy. So she comes in and fairly emotionally begins to tell me about this woman in her life. It happened to be her sister-in-law. And she goes into great emotional detail about how this gal is keeping her up at night, ruining her family, destroying all this stuff. And so it was this gal. I sat with a parent who begins to tell me, I got this, you know, semi-adult child, and they're not making great decisions, and it's just killing him. And he's trying to figure out, what do I do? How do I care? What do I do with this thing? And it goes on and on and on. I can be standing out here at an event, sitting out here in the foyer. I just had a phone call a week or so ago where a gal called me up. What do I do with this gal in my life? And so it always revolves around some guy, some gal that is giving you trouble, keeping you up at night, that you don't quite know what to do with, right? And so this morning, and you're doing the best you can. You're stepping into this deal, but it's not really resolving very well. And so this morning, I want to help you think this through. And we're going to talk about three categories of people. You see them on your outline. There's the wise person, there's the foolish person, and there's the evil person, right? And the book of Proverbs, if you'll take time to read through those 31 chapters, it is woven all the way through. The writer's always talking about the wise man, the fool, the evil or the mocker, you know, different names for it there. But the book of Proverbs goes into great detail that there are these three different kinds of people. And as Henry Cloud says at the top of your outline, you cannot deal with everyone in the same way. Different people in different categories require different strategies. And most of the people, if not all of them, that come to me and need help with that guy, most of them are all loving, most of them are responsible, most of them are relatively mature, and if that's actually part of their problem. Not that they need to be immature or unloving, but because they're loving, because they're responsible, because they're mature, that's the way they want to be dealt with, and that's how they try to deal with everybody else. Because it makes sense, doesn't it? I need to be loving and responsible and straightforward with all the people I interact with. You know, and that sounds wonderful in a perfect world, but this is not a perfect world. And if you're dealing with loving, responsible, mature people, then dealing with them in a loving, responsible, mature way makes all the sense in the world. But if they're not, then and you keep bringing it that way because, see, you deal with people through your own filter, your own approach to life. And so if you've matured and grown up, you keep trying to deal with people that way, and you are frustrated because they're not responding appropriately. And if you don't realize the difference between the wise person, the fool, and the evil person, you're going to waste all kinds of time, all kinds of energy, all kinds of resources, all kinds of affections of your heart on people that will squander it or destroy it. Not everybody out there is loving and responsible. And we kind of know that, but this morning we're going to specify that. And let me give you the diagnostic question. You see it on your outline. The diagnostic question is this. How does a person, this person you're dealing with, respond when the light shines on their life? Okay? How does this person in your world, how does that gal respond when they are confronted with the truth? How do they deal with the realities of their world when that comes? And each of these three people deal with it in a completely different way. Now, let me walk you through this. Let's talk about the wise person for a couple of minutes. We won't spend forever because they're the easy people. You know, really, nobody ever comes to my office and says, Dennis, I'm working with this incredibly wise, responsible, mature person. And I just want to know how to encourage. I've got this neighbor that is unbelievable. I mean, they're like the perfect neighbor. And I just want to know, can you give me some ideas on how to encourage them and make them better? Nobody does that. But we're going to talk about the wise because there's a good contrast here, okay? And so the wise, when it comes to change, you know, let me give you a description of them right here. It's up on the screen, should be. And the wise person shines, when the light shines on their lives, they adjust their lives to the light. You see what I'm saying? When the truth comes, when they learn something about themselves, when they're confronted with some reality, some problem, what they immediately do is begin to align themselves with the light. They align themselves with the truth. And the truth comes into their lives and it changes them. They make the appropriate changes to the input they're given. That's exactly what Proverbs says. Proverbs 9:8, turn over there if you would. Wouldn't mind. Proverbs in the middle of your Bible, turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, the second half of that, and it says this, rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. You see what it's saying? You bring the truth to a wise person, they're going to just get better and better and better. You know, and they're going to, you know, and so wisdom, the wise person, upon hearing the truth, will make the changes to their lives, to their attitude, to their actions, to their habits, whatever needs to be done. They will align their lives with the light. They may not like it. It might be painful. It might be difficult to hear, but they still listen and they still respond to it. And so as a result, the wise just keep getting better and better and better and better because they change according to what they learn. It was a dog food company. Sales were down. They were not moving the merchandise, and the owner pulls everybody together and says, okay, what is the problem? You know, the quarter goes by, it's no better the second time. So he gets rid of the marketing department. They change all of the packaging. Quarter goes by, still not going well. He kind of reams out the sales department, then the production line, and one thing after another. And they change. Goes on for about a year until they're back meeting again, and some little guy in the back of the room goes, sir? He goes, yeah. Says, the dogs don't like it. So what are you going to do with that? You're either going to change the formula or you're going to keep dancing around over here. The wise person hears the feedback and says, I got to make a change. Let me give you one other idea. Here's one other quality that when a wise person gets feedback, let me give you a little visual demonstration of how they respond. Here's the wise person when they get feedback to help them improve their lives. See, that's them. They're happy about it. You know, they're happy about it because and that's what he says. You rebuke a wise person, they're going to thank you. They're going to love you. See, you can tell if somebody is wise that when you bring them the truth, no matter how hard it is, their first response is going to be, thank you so much. That hurts. I don't like it. I'm going to change, but thank you for telling me that. Thank you for caring about me enough. It hurts, but it's going to be helpful. And look, I saw this just a few weeks ago. I'm at lunch with a guy, and he comes together, and he's looking for some wisdom, some direction, and we're talking it through. And as always, I sit, and I let the guy talk. And he talks for about a half an hour, and he tells me about this issue, and he's working his way through. And then there's that pause in the lunch, and I looked at him. I said, would you like some feedback? You know, and in that moment, it was really great because he literally leaned forward at the table and says, I need it. See, that's wisdom. You can see it almost in their body language. They come after it. They want it. And so when you give it to them, they're incredibly grateful. They're incredibly thankful and thrilled with this thing, right? And so what do you do with the wise? You've got wise people in your life. How do you deal with them? Well, first thing, you can talk about the problems. Because talking helps. Whatever the issue is, you can sit down face to face, side by side, across the table with someone who is wise and say, let me give you some feedback. Let me tell you how this is coming across. Let me tell you how this is working. And you can deal face to face, directly, lovingly, responsibly, maturely, and they will receive it. And so you can talk about whatever the issues are going on in life. Instruct the wise, and they'll be wiser still. Also, you can coach them. You can come up alongside them and say, let me show you how to do this a little better. Let me show you how to improve on this thing. And you know what? They're going to receive that because not everybody does. Sometimes you coach and they go, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. But the wise says, help me get better. And then you can challenge them. You can call them to more. You can resource them. You can give them everything that you need. And really, the challenge is to make sure they're in the right slot doing the right thing because these are high-quality people. And again, it's been my experience that very few people come to me and say, help me coach the wise. They're just fair. Most of my conversations deal with the next two. So let's dive in there because let's talk about the foolish person. And what's fascinating about the foolish person is they might be the sharpest tool in the box. They might be the most gifted person at the table. They might be the one who is the smart. They may be smarter than everybody, and which has enabled them to get where they are at this point in life. But here's the problem. With the wise, you shine the light on their life, and they adjust their life. But with the fool, when you shine the light on their lives, they try to adjust the light to their lives. The wise will change themselves, but the fool will try to change the truth. You with me on that? They will start redefining reality on you. They'll start telling you that whatever you're telling them is the problem, whatever truth you're bringing to the table is actually not true. And so what will happen, they'll do it all kinds of ways. On the one hand, when you bring the truth and you shine, one of the things they're going to do is minimize the truth. They're going to go, it's just not that bad. It's just not, now, wait, before I even go into this, let me just say something I meant to say a minute ago. It dawns on me, all of a sudden, Lord kind of prompts in this moment. Let me remind you of this. First of all, you and I are all three of these people we're going to talk about. So we got to be real careful we don't sit here immediately going, thank goodness I'm the wise person, the rest of you are fools. Right, see, that would be very tempting in this moment. But we have some of this in all of us. You know, it's just that some people have made a career out of one over the other, right? Some people are predominantly one over the other. Because even as I'm talking about this, I can hear myself playing the fool. And I can hear myself saying some of the very things I'm about to say to you in certain settings. And so there are places in your life, you may be very mature, but there may be a part of your life where you're being very foolish. The people you're dealing with, it may not be that they're totally unwise everywhere, but it may be that there are segments of their lives where they are unwise, and that's causing you the problems. It's causing them the problems. And so what happens, again, you bring the light, the truth to bear on someone, and if that person begins to go, it's just not that big a deal. It's not that big a problem. It's not, and they begin to make excuses left and right. It's not my fault. I didn't have a choice. It's their fault or their fault. And so every time you begin to step into that and you say, well, wait a minute, you said this and you're responsible for that. Oh yeah, but I couldn't do that because of this guy. And there's always somebody else that is at fault, and it is never them. It is never them. So you shine the light on the fool. Sometimes they'll minimize it. You know, sometimes they'll deflect it and say it's somebody else. Sometimes they want to shoot the messenger, which would be you, right? And you bring them the truth. You say, let's talk about this thing. And before you know it, what they're saying, you know what? If you had given me what I needed, if you had trusted me, if you had given me more direction, if you, and all of a sudden, their failure is your fault. And so rather than receiving any correction, they're holding a mirror up going, no, it's you. But all they're doing is deflecting it and sending it back the other direction. Or they'll say, you know, if you told me in advance, if I knew this was important to you, which says you didn't tell me, it's all that stuff. And so they'll constantly, what they're doing is simply changing the topic off of them back onto you. They never own it. The wise person owns it. They go, yeah, I get it. Thank you. I need to work on this. The fool says, it's not me. It's them. It's you. It's the situation. It is somebody else. So there's denial of reality. And whenever you give feedback to somebody, whether it's somebody in your family, your child, your coworker, when you give feedback and their first response is external. It is somebody else, somewhere else, somehow else. Let the warning flag go up. You're not dealing with a wise person here. You're dealing with a foolish person who is unable or unwilling to look at it. And so let me show you what this, here's what you get when you go to the foolish person. Take a look. You know, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to hear it. Nothing. And that's what Proverbs says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so when you bring the truth, when you shine the light, they're not happy to hear about it. They don't want to hear about it. They're going to find ways to not listen to it, and they're going to get angry, and then they're going to go have the meeting after the meeting to stir everything up against you. And they'll do almost anything to avoid change. But ultimately, they just don't want to own the problem. One of my ministry buddies, he's not the lead dog in a church. He's one of the assistant dogs, you know, and he calls me up. And this was a couple of years ago. He calls me up and he says, I need some help. I said, okay, talk to me. What's going on? And he says, well, look, the lead dog, there's just been some behavior in here that's a little wonky. It's a little sideways. It's doing some damage over here. He says the lead pastor at the church was And they were relationally, there was some inappropriateness going on. The way he was dealing with people was just not right. You know, and there was just kind of a series of problems with the lead dog. And so my buddy says, I need help on what to do with him. I said, well, tell me what you've done. And he says, well, I went, because he's a loving and responsible person, he sat down and tried to lovingly and responsibly talk to the guy. He said, look, I'm just your friend. I'm just raising a flag. There's some dangerous stuff here. Let me warn you before you throw away everything and ruin it, you lose your job, the whole nine. And he's just trying to protect him. And so the lead dog, rather than saying, thank you so much, what the lead dog did was this. He said, wait a minute. The way you're coming to me is not biblically accurate. You're not following the biblical model of confrontation. Therefore, I am not going to listen to anything you have to say. You see what he's saying? He is nitpicking how the conversation happened rather than taking a look inside. See, that's the move of a fool. It is to say, I'm not going to look at me. I'm going to keep it all out here so I don't have to do with this. So what do you do with a fool? Right? Because with the wise, you talk, you instruct, you teach, you challenge, and it works. They get better. But the Bible changes its tune. Turn over, if you would, to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. There's a series of verses here that really help us understand how to deal with the fool. Take a look. We'll start at verse 3. And it's completely different. It says, and here's how you deal with the fool. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of the fools. You see what he's saying? And we're going to come back to that again in a minute. But you see, you know, with the wise, you talk. With the fool, you bring out a rod. Now look at verse 4. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Make sure you see what he's saying. It says, if you start trying to talk to a fool without understanding he's a fool, and you don't talk to him according to his foolishness, then what will happen is you will become the fool, because you don't understand who you're talking to. And so you cannot talk to a fool any other way than as them being a fool. And look at verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. Deal with him because he's foolish, or he will be wise in his own eyes. If you don't deal with a fool appropriately, with and we'll talk about what that looks like. If you don't do with that, then what's going to happen is the fool's going to go on, I'm doing this all right. They're just going to assume that they're doing everything correct. And matter of fact, look down at verse 11. Here's the real problem. As a dog, here's one of the great verses of Scripture. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Fools are devoted to their foolishness. They found a way to never have to deal with themselves, keep the light off themselves, and they're going to live in that as long as possible. So how do you deal with them? Let me give you three thoughts. First, stop talking about the problem and talk about the reality that talking doesn't help. See, if you're a wise person and you're used to instruct the wise and they get wiser still, what you keep thinking is, I just need to explain the problem better. If I could explain the problem again in a different way, this time they're going to get it. I need to read, and so you keep trying to convince them, and you've shined the light on their life, and they're saying, nope, change the light. And what you keep trying to do is convince them that the light is accurate, but they're not going to pay attention to the light. They're simply not going to, and you know this, because you keep talking and change isn't happening. They're not getting any different than when you're talking to them. And so you keep doing this loving, responsible thing because that's the way you're wired up. It's just not going anywhere. And so at some point, you have to change the conversation. And what you have to say is, we keep talking about this, but you're not listening to what I'm saying. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you looking at the truth? Why aren't you looking at what the light is shining on? And you have to raise up the reality that they're avoiding it. You know, a while back, Marty and I were invited into a conversation. There were a couple of folks. They were having some relational struggles. They were having some financial struggles. They were having sort of some business struggles. And so they reached out to us and said, can we set up an appointment? Can the two of us come and meet with the two of you? Can we make this thing happen? And will you give us advice about this issue? Right? So you got the setting. Well, because Marty is who Marty is, Marty is very responsible. Marty went out and she does all kinds of research because some of it was legal. She's a lawyer, you know. And so she does all, a former lawyer, current lawyer, brilliant legal mind. She does all the research. So she's loaded. She can answer the questions they've asked. Now me, on the other hand, I showed up. I just showed up because I just am trusting that God's going to give me what I need in the moment. Plus, I don't know anything about some of the stuff they're asking about. And I'm brought in for sort of a different piece to this thing. So we begin this conversation, and they kind of lay out their problems, right? And early on, Marty brings her research to bear and says, we think the first step you need to take is you need to make this call to this professional, right? And the guy in the deal starts going, I don't know, you know, and he deflects. And we just let it go, and we carry on. And then he raises another piece of this issue, and we go, Marty again says, I think you need to make this call to this professional. Same thing. We do this about 5 times, where she says it 2 or 3 times, I say it a couple of times, until finally I stop the conversation. I stop the conversation and say, time out. You have asked us to come and meet with you. You have asked for our help, our wisdom, our direction. 5 or 6 times now we have told you this is the next step you need to take. But every time we mention it, you have a reason, a deflection, some way, reason. It won't work. Why is that? You see what I'm saying? We quit talking about the problem over here and talked about the resistance, because it was this foolish resistance that was causing. And the question is, why aren't you listening to what we're saying? You know, and sometimes simply pointing that out is all that needs to be done. You know, in that setting, he was kind of like, well, you know, I'm sorry. And, some of it's fear, some of it's shame, some of this stuff. And it began, we hope, to make some kind of a change there. We called the problem. We noted the pattern of him not responding. And sometime or other, that can really change in somebody. Sometimes just pointing out the pattern is all that they need. And you create a conversation, and they're beginning to able to start changing. Maybe they're too afraid. Maybe there's, you know, their fear of failure, whatever it may be, and that can begin to change. But if they're really committed to their foolishness, you've got to simply point out their foolishness. And if you're a wise person, loving, responsible, you just don't think that way. You think loving, responsible. And periodically, I have to tell people, you cannot out-crazy crazy people. They play by a set of rules that you don't understand. And they're over here in this game of crazy foolishness that works for them, but you play over here in the responsible, sane, adult game. And you keep trying to, but I will tell you this, you cannot out-crazy them. And you can't understand the way they're playing, because they're playing a totally different game than you are. And even if you begin to understand, they're just going to change. Fools are committed to their foolishness. And so the first step, you kind of go, you're being foolish. You may not use these words, but you call the pattern what it is. You stop talking about the problem, and you start talking about the reality. There's a pattern here. They're not listening. Secondly is this, is you got to limit the damage they can do. You have to decide that you're just not going to let this person ruin your life, your family's life, your business life. You're basically going to say, I am no longer going to let you ruin what I'm not going to let your anger continue to wound the family. I'm not going to let your drinking continue to ruin all our get-togethers. I'm not going to let your laziness keep this from. You've got to somehow say, no more. I'm going to limit how much more damage you can do. And you have to come to the place where you're essentially not going to take it anymore. And then the third thing you got to do is you got to give them consequences. I mean, that's what Proverbs says, right? A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. And the reason consequences are so critical, it is the last ditch effort to get them to turn from their foolishness. You shine the light and it's painful, so they avoid the pain. Consequences are you basically saying, I'm going to do all I can so that you experience the pain instead of me. Right? And you have to give clear consequences. If this continues, this is the way it's going to happen. If you keep saying hateful things to me, I'm going to walk away. If you keep making excuses, you're going to lose your job. And I you can just go on and on and on and on and on. But you have to give them consequences. And the hope is that they'll finally hear it, experience the pain, and change. The fools only change because of the rod, because of consequences, because of pain. Up until now, it's almost always someone else is paying for it. And they've been able to skate through. And so with the fool, you got to challenge them. You got to make it really clear. You got to limit your exposure to the damage they can do. You can give them some clear consequences. And you got to let them choose, and you got to follow through on this thing. Now, let me give you one last thought. You're in chapter 22. Turn over to chapter 26. Turn over to chapter 22. This is why we have a problem. This is why everybody has a problem. 22:15, great little verse. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. You see what it's saying? That when you came into the world, when your kids came into the world, when any of us and all of us entered the world, we entered into it with a foolish heart because of sin. And it was woven, part of our DNA. It is bound up in who we are. And so we all start off as fools. And if someone doesn't lovingly bring consequences into our life, we remain fools. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that you need to spank your kids as little guys. Now, we did. Got no problem with it. We felt like the rod of correction led to this, led to education. We were glad for that. Not everybody does. But if you are a parent that keeps thinking you can talk your kids into maturity, you are in for a world of hurt. The Bible makes it clear. Consequences is the only thing that changes the fool. Right? And as long as you continue to create a world where there are no consequences, and you keep trying to reason them into maturity, you're the one who's going to get the pain. So, just a word to parents, and I think that's part of the issue, is you and I grow up, and some of our foolishness becomes maturity, but there are still pockets of foolishness bound up in our heart that, frankly, we need consequences for. All right? Now, and does that make sense? You guys with me on this? Okay, now, you don't need to name names, but how many of you got some folks in mind? Just kind of nod, right? Right. This is life-changing for me. You begin to see people going, wait a minute, I don't need to reason with this person anymore. I got to change the conversation. And then finally, just a quick word about the evil person, and it's this. When the light shines on their lives, they destroy the light, okay? They don't try to adjust anything. They destroy the light. Proverbs 9 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. And Proverbs talks all and on about this. These folks who have, destruction in their heart. There is an evil, there is a badness. And so these are people who want to inflict pain. And so when you shine the light on their lives, when you bring the truth to bear, what they will not say, thank you, let me change. Well, let me give you a little picture of what these guys look like, right? Yeah, here we are right here. And their goal is destruction. And they will end up saying, you may have heard this, right? It says, if you do this, I will ruin you. I will make you pay. I will bring you down, right? And you may have heard this. And sometimes as Christians, we keep thinking, well, everybody's nice and loving. We just be real. No. Let me give you three quick solutions to deal with this. It's real simple. You need three things, lawyers, guns, and money. Okay? Lawyers, guns, and money. Now, but let me tell you why you do, okay? And first is this, is that you will need to use, against the evil person, reasoning and nice consequences are not going to get it. You're going to need to bring the legal resources available to the table in order to protect you from the damage they're going to do. Now, the fool is going to do damage, but it's just part of life damage. The evil are going to try to burn the place to the ground. They're going to try to ruin you, your life, your livelihood, your family. And there's a place for Christians to use lawyers for protection. Now, I am not saying that every time you have a petty disagreement, or maybe it's a big disagreement with somebody, you need to go sue other Christians. That is not biblical. It's not appropriate. However, there's a place to get a lawyer in place to say, and you get guns because you get police involved, and you have restraining orders so that damage and physical harm doesn't come to bear anymore, right? And you use the money you have, the resources that you have, in order to mobilize and protect yourself from the damage. And the bottom line is with evil is you don't negotiate. You don't reason. You stop talking. And you basically say, if you want to talk to me, it'll be through my lawyer. Because they are that destructive. They have destruction in their heart, is the way Proverbs describes it. And their goal is not, their goal is your destruction, one way or another. And so you leverage according to that. Now look, you are these people every day, and you deal with these people every day. And wisdom is you begin to diagnose, once you've had these conversations, you're in this corrective, problem-solving, whatever you're dealing with, you have to diagnose in the moment, who am I dealing with here? Is this person being wise? Well, I need to talk to them some more. If this is a place where a relatively mature person is being incredibly immature and foolish, talking is not going to do you any good. You got to stop talking. You got to surface the reality. You're not listening anymore. You haven't listened. Now, therefore, as a result, there'll be some limits, there'll be some consequences. Now, if you have teenagers, you recognize this, right? And it's hard to believe that you have to treat grown adults the same way, but you do. And if it's evil, you get out of the conversation. You put walls up that protect you and your family and say, we're done with this. Now I've got to tell you, men and women, for the last 4 years, I tell you, I've talked this through with people every month with somebody, it seems like. And it has made it so easy for me to distinguish and to coach different types of behavior with different kinds of people. I think this will give you some clarity and be a great tool for you to deal with family members, work friends, teammates, whatever it may be. And so lock it in. There's the wise, there's the foolish, and the evil. Deal with them accordingly. Why don't we pray together? Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you for just this good, simple lesson from Proverbs on how to deal with people. Thank you, Lord, that thousands of years ago you looked out over mankind and said, look, not everybody's the same, and you got to deal with them accordingly. So thank you, Lord, that you see us. Thank you that there is hope for the mature because they will grow. There's hope for the foolish because they can be turned around with the consequences, Lord. And there's hope even for the evil that can end up meeting you in jail cells and courtrooms and Lord, there's just story after story of people. Chuck Colson comes to mind who really lived a fairly evil life and then discovered you and was transformed by that and became incredibly wise and mature and godly. So, Lord, there's hope for all of us. And we thank you that Jesus died for all of us. And Lord, I do pray that you would continue to transform us into the wise. Use us as your instrument in the lives of the people around us. And so, Lord, I pray that they would give hope for folks maybe in the middle of a conflict. Maybe you give somebody some clarity on what to do today as they work their way through these things. So, Lord, we thank you for this. In your name, amen.